You see, our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter, the first 12 verses of that chapter. And these are words that will be familiar to you. You should know these words. If not, you need to find them and read them each day for the next week. Just learn these words. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecute the prophets who were before you." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Friends, it was about 2 years ago, I think, maybe a year and a half ago, and our family was on vacation in the mountains of North Carolina, and we decided to go see this particular park or hike this particular trail, and so we found it on a map, and we headed off. And everything was going fine, and we got to the exit off the interstate. We pulled off, and it was a beautiful road. It was just a nicely built road, asphalt, no problem. And I thought to myself, well, we're pretty close based on everything we've read, so this should only take us a few minutes. Maybe 10 minutes, we'll be at the summit, no problem. So I was excited. It was nice and simple. But no sooner had I thought this, and all of a sudden the road changed. The road changed from asphalt to gravel. I thought, oh, well, it's a gravel road. Not bad, it's pretty wide. But no sooner had I thought that, and all of a sudden the gravel road narrowed. And then ruts appeared in it. And we started climbing up. Vegetation closed in around the car. And there were no other cars to be seen. Did we make a wrong turn? What happened? But we kept climbing. Well, we'll keep on going. And it went on for like an hour. We're climbing this mountain. And it probably was only about 10 minutes, but it seemed like an hour. And we were going up, and all of a sudden, we got to this opening in the woods, in the forest. We came to this gravel parking lot that could hold maybe 10 cars, and there may be a couple cars, and that was about it. And this beautiful vista opened before us. It was a giant protrusion of earth. It was a bald mountain. Have you ever seen a bald mountain? It's awe-inspiring. I mean, it was just overwhelming. And so we got out of the car, and we said, we're going to climb that thing. And so we looked for a trail, and there were several options, and we found this one that was beaten down path, very narrow, and we started walking it. And there were weeds yay high on both sides. We just single file, we went through this. And then all of a sudden, the path started going up. It got a little bit rockier. Well, all of a sudden, the slope intensified. And we came across some railroad ties for steps, and some of them were broken, some of them were whole. But we went up, it got steeper and steeper. All of a sudden, the vegetation that was around us cleared, and it was glorious. We were on top of the mountain. It looked like a park. It was a fairway almost, a golf fairway, just green grass everywhere. And you looked out, and all you could see were mountains all around. The Smoky Mountains were not smoky that day. It was perfectly clear. And as I look back on that experience this week, it came to mind, I thought, my first inclination when I got to the top of that mountain was not so much to look out all around me. My first inclination, do you know what it was? To look back. To look back down the mountain. How did I get here? Here I am, the summit of the mountain. It's beautiful, but first thing I did, where's our car? You know, I'm looking back. Oh, there's the parking lot down there. Oh, and I see the road that led up the mountain a little bit. Oh, I see the path we're on. I see those stairs coming up. So I look back. Instead of looking forward, I said, you know, that's a pretty good metaphor for All Saints Day All Saints Sunday. You know, here we are, we're at the summit. Every moment is the summit. Every moment of your life is at the summit. And so, a day like today, we stop and we look back. How did we get here? And we celebrate that. All Saints. We are here today because of folks who came before us, who walked that circuitous path, who paved the trail for us. Well, it wasn't paved, but they blazed the trail for us. And here we are. Now, I know you're tired of hearing it. You're tired of hearing the story. Too bad. You're going to hear the story again right now. It was sometime around 1840. And there was a little community situated between Durham, North Carolina, and Raleigh, North Carolina, called Pleasant Grove. And this community had read the words of Paul, these words: "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." And they said, "We're going to form a community of faith in Pleasant Grove." And they did. We don't know much about it, except that we think it started directly across the street where those two new houses are that face us. There was a little house, and it was owned by Maddie Bell. Many of you knew Maddie. She died about 10 years ago. She died at 100 years old. She was an amazing person. We've named that building back there the Maddie Bell Building. But Maddie lived there, and her husband's family had lived there for a long time. So we think that's where the church first started meeting in the 1840s. And it met, and it said, "We are the body of Christ in this part of the world." At the beginning of the 20th century, the community said, "It's time we build a sanctuary." And so in 1903, they built the first sanctuary. It sat right back there with a basketball court, a center court, right back there. And they began to worship. Three or four decades passed, 1940s, 1950s, they had a centennial vision. They said, you know, we've got to have a place for our kids to have Sunday school. We need a fellowship hall. And they built what is back there now, the Maddie Bell Building. And the community expanded. Jump ahead to the 1960s, and Raleigh had begun to encroach on the Pleasant Grove community. The population expanded. They said, "We need a bigger sanctuary." And 50 years ago, this coming spring, 1968, they built this building, this room, this sanctuary. That was great. They met here. They had this extra space. But they didn't stop there. They began to evaluate their ministry. And in the 1980s, they said, "We need more. We need more space to gather. We need room for our kids to meet for Sunday school." And they built, in 1990, they built that building over there. It's immediately adjacent to this building here. Into the 1990s and 2000s, the community continued to see growth. And it responded to this by reclaiming its vision to be the body of Christ. It was an old vision, but they reclaimed it. And they began to assess, how can we be more effective and more faithful to this tradition? And following the generous gifts from the estates of Noah Hyder and Christine House, this church was able to buy the property across the street and build the Hyder House, which expanded small group ministries, all sorts of things, added parking. In 2013, just a few years ago, we began to work to enhance the ministries here, especially in the areas of program and personnel. And we began more small group ministries, we revamped our committee structure, and we expanded our church staff. And then 1 year ago, almost to the day, November 20th it was, I think, we launched a building campaign entitled God's Vision, the Next Chapter, with a focus on how we might enhance our facilities in this place to support all the ministries that go on here. When you stand on the mountaintop at Max Patch. Anybody ever been to Max Patch, North Carolina? Thank you. We've had one person. Lana was there with me. Okay. That's a bald mountain in the westernmost part of this state. And when you stand there, you can see this incredible view into Tennessee and all around, just mountains as far as you can see. Again, the tendency was to say, "We have arrived," and look back. But you can't just do that. The hike doesn't stop there. Now, when you're there, you're overwhelmed. You say, "Where do we go from here?" And you look down there, you say, "I wonder what's behind that hill. I wonder what beauty beckons us if we continue down this path. The Appalachian Trail crosses right in the middle of that hillside. It's amazing. So you can't stop. It beckons you on. Friends, that's All Saints Sunday. You say, where are we going? You look back and you say, wow, how did we get here? But y'all say, where are we going? Where are we going? Brian McLaren said, the human story is a tale of people in motion. And Pleasant Grove has always been in motion. In his book, The Great Spiritual Migration, he talks about how too many churches are filled with folks who become disaffected because the church isn't doing anything. The church has stopped moving. And remember, Jesus said, follow me? And the church was off. And it's in the following, it's in the movement, it's in the dynamism that the community is sustained. And then the community which it serves is sustained. McLaren reminds us through the closing of his book that as we look back down the path of our faith tradition, there's a lot for which we need to give thanks, but also a lot for which we need to repent, both individually and collectively. Fair enough. The goal is to be intentional in our following, to move forward with purpose and integrity as we seek to be the body of Christ in the world and to extend the love of Christ. Because if we don't, what's the point? Paul said it this way, without love, I am nothing. Those of us who call Pleasant Grove come from many different places. As I said at other services, I think it's probably true in this service as well, that I would suspect if you are over the age of, let's say, 16, 17, I don't know, you're not from this church. This church gave itself to you at some point. It welcomed you. It taught you. It loved you. It embraced you. And now it's your place. This is where we gather. This is where grace is dispensed into our lives and through our lives. So on All Saints Day, we look back. We also look forward. How are we going to continue this tradition? How are we going to do that? How are we going to invite others and give this church away to them? And who knows, maybe 100 years from now, 200 years from now, and All Saints Day, people will be remembering things in this space, and they'll go, remember that group way back? And they will give thanks for us. Maybe they'll lift our names up. Wouldn't that be something? In a few minutes, we're going to pause for communion. And during the communion, we're going to remember the names of those folks, those saints dear to us who have died over the past year. And when we read their names, we're going to give thanks to God for their lives and the grace they bestowed on us and on this place. We'll take a few minutes then to recommit our lives to the vision they had. And then we will grasp that vision. We will claim that vision as we break bread together. We exist to be the body of Christ. That's what we believe. That's what this church has always believed since 1840. And we believe that this particular manifestation of the body of Christ is one that needs to survive, one that needs, this world needs. Last year, Pat Luna, the person that led us in our campaign, said something to me that has really stuck with me across the year. I've mentioned it before, but I want to mention it again. She said, everyone has been given a non-transferable ministry. I love that. In other words, I can't do your ministry. You can't do my ministry. It's non-transferable. So, if I don't do my ministry, if I don't do the ministry to which I have been called, it never gets done. In the history of the universe, it never gets done. If you don't do your ministry, it never gets done. If Bob Starks decided not to do his ministry, what would we do? If Bill Sperry decided not to do his ministry, Challey, all of you, what would we do? I hate to think about it, but think about it we must. What would happen in this place? What would have happened if the people in the 1840s said, we're not going to do that? The 1860s, the 1880s, 1910, 1930, 1960, 1980. They said, it's fine. We're not going to do that right now. What would have happened? All the good that this church has done across the past two centuries, all the relationships it has formed. Think of people you've met in this place. All the grace that is dispensed that would never have occurred. I can't even go there. For the past 175 years or so, the people of Pleasant Grove have struggled to be a community of blessing. That's why I read the Beatitudes today. For everyone who has walked through this door, a blessing for this community, a blessing for this world. So today, as we gather as that community to remember and to celebrate, we look back. But we also turn to look forward to the path that lies before us. And we remember the words of Isaiah. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Friends, a human story is a tale of people in motion. And we're on the move here. And we invite you to come with us. Thanks be to God. Amen.